All right.
On this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual who competes at Bellator 293 on March 31st. And it's a very intriguing middleweight matchup as Aaron Jeffrey and John Salter get out there to test skills. And great getting to have John on the show. How's your day going so far, John?
Oh, it's doing pretty well. I've got training sessions in this morning, and so I'm done for the day and just on my way home.
And I imagine there would be a certain level of excitement for this one, just even in the sense of getting to return after a bit over a year away from the cage. Like, what are the feelings like as you're readying to return from, you know, this hiatus?
Yeah. I mean, I'm, you know, like I said, excited to get back in there and get my hand raised. It's been a while. You know, it'll be a little over a year since I fought by the time the fight happens. And I would have fought this summer, but I don't really want to use the term injury, but I just had I've never had it happen before where, like, my back just kind of locked up where I couldn't stretch, I couldn't bend over, I couldn't do anything. The only thing I could really do was spar. Even walking was hard, so I just kind of spent the whole, summer just sparring, but doing not really anything else, and hitting pads, and that's about it. And so, you know, I got over that, got healthy, good to go, and so I'm ready to, you know, get back in and get another fight under my belt.
Yeah, and I mean, what was the recuperation process like for that? Like, what specifically did you do in terms of, like, I guess, recuperative measures? Because that sounds like you were, you know, very hindered for a period. So curious to hear how you got out of that.
Man, I don't really have a great answer. I was going to physical therapy, and I honestly had to stop going to physical therapy because everything that was being done involved me either laying on my stomach or, like, leaning over the table. And I just couldn't do it. It was more painful than it was worth. And I got to the point where I just, you know, I was like, I got to keep moving. I'm not going to stop doing things. So, like, when I say I was, you know, I was doing a little bit of jiu-jitsu, but I couldn't really do anything for my guard or anything like that. So I was just trying to get on top of people and hold them down. And then just try to kickbox, you know, and I think just staying moving, it just eventually, I've never had anything last months, but it lasted months. And then all of a sudden it just started loosening up one day, and then it was just gone. So I'm very fortunate that it went away.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, that's awesome. Just like, I mean, I'm wondering how much that, you know, time off, like, really, you know, served that too. Cause I mean, you're not necessarily in, like, you know, a bad spot in the sense of, like, the two, you know, individuals that you, you know, last fought are, you know, Gegard Mousasi and Johnny Eblen, like the previous two, you know, Bellator middleweight champions. But, like, how much did that time off serve to kind of, like, bring you back for, you know, like, in terms of, like, I guess, revitalizing things, and now you're getting ready to, you know, get back into it and face a ranked opponent? Like, I guess, what's the mindset in that sense, heading into it?
I think this is probably the least stressed I've ever felt going into a fight because, you know, I fought the best two guys in the division. And, you know, this is just to go out there and try to prove that, you know, I'm still the guy right there with them. So, you know, for so long it was trying to climb and get a title shot. So I got to win a certain way, got to be impressive. And then, you know, I lost the title shot and I was like, okay, well, I got to beat this guy to try and get another title shot as soon as possible. And now there's no pressure like that anymore. So it's kind of nice.
And I was seeing an interview you had, you know, prior to one of your last fights with MMA Junkie. And you were saying that throughout most of your career, you know, more often than not would be overlooked as a competitor, like, you know, traveling to other people's hometowns and stuff like that. And even in some of the things you were talking about there, like having to win in, like, a certain way, like you need to, you know, maybe step outside of what you would normatively do to win in a particular way to climb the hierarchy and, you know, everything like that. Can you, I guess, you know, speak to that a little bit, just that, you know, whole dynamic and everything? Does it embolden something in you as a competitor, the fact that people are overlooking you? Because it seems kind of curious to me. It seems like you're a demonstrably accomplished guy, but why do you think it is you've been overlooked? And I guess as an extension, like, does it provide some benefit to you?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. it's kind of weird. It's always been that way. You know, I came out of college, I was the NAI national champion. And, you know, for people, anybody that wrestled in college, you know that every level of college wrestling is really tough to deal with, you know. And but I just feel like because of that, I didn't get, like, the respect of I mean, I can't tell you how many D1 guys I beat in college. You know, I did it all the time. And then people were like, yeah, but you weren't a D1 wrestler, you know. Okay. And and then I moved back to Alabama. Not a huge MMA scene in Alabama, so I did have to travel a lot to get fights in the beginning. And then it just kind of became the thing of, like, if somebody wants to fight me or wants me on a card, I'll do it. I don't really care who I fight or where it is. Just let's make a fight happen. So it did work out to where I got to travel, see a lot of places, but fight a lot of hometown heroes. You know, it's kind of fun. It's been a good career that way, but it's been nice, you know, get into Bellator, and I was the underdog for a couple of fights, even though sometimes I didn't know I was supposed to be. And then, you know, to make a name, and now I feel like I get the respect, you know, and that people expect me to go out there and get wins.
Yeah, it's just kind of interesting because even in, like, the wrestling period that you were kind of talking about there, like, it seemed like you transitioned that into, you know, more of like a submission grappling oriented framework, and it seemed like right away you used, like, the wrestling skill to really, you know, take out some pretty, like, you know, top-notch, like, black belts, like, pretty early on in the endeavor, and have since gone on to have a lot of ADCC, you know, competition. Like, how much of that wrestling base, like, obviously you've developed quite a nuanced jiu-jitsu game after, but how much did that wrestling base really, I guess, like, lead you to, like, that initial success? Because it seemed like you were, you know, really, like, taking out a lot of, like, top level guys at a time where maybe your quote-unquote jiu-jitsu credentials weren't maybe what theirs were. Can you kind of speak to, I guess, how much the wrestling base led to, like, successes in some submission grappling efforts you've had?
Yeah, so, you know, I got out of college at a time, and I know MMA is a different world now. I think it's going through a couple of evolutions since I've got into MMA, but I got out of college at a time when you see all these stud wrestlers, and they would just go out there and take people down and look so dominant and then get submitted. And I just always thought, like, that cannot be me. I cannot be that guy. I may not be the most explosive guy. I may not be faster than everybody, but if I get somebody down, I have to make sure I'm not getting submitted, you know? And so, you know, I was like, I'm really going to dive into jiu-jitsu. And I did fall in love with jiu-jitsu. And then, you know, I've got all my friends from college that I wrestled with, they, you know, like to roll around and goof off and stuff. And I always thought, like, you know, if we start battling for who's going to be on top, we're just going to have a wrestling match. So I'm just going to pull guard on everybody. And I want to make sure that, you know, if I go with a wrestler that's just as good as me and I can't take him down, I've got the option to pull guard and submit him. And then I really did take the mindset going into MMA that at some point somebody's going to hit me hard enough to knock me down. So if that happens, I got to be able to submit them off my back. And so it just, you know, I kind of try to take it that way of, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel and stop wrestling and just throwing haymakers all the time, which I had a lot of friends that I wrestled with in college that tried to get into MMA, and they just fell in love with knocking people out, which I love striking. I love the feeling of hitting somebody hard. But, you know, at the end of the day, me standing there with you know, standing in front of Gegard Mousasi, who you know, the level of striker he isn't necessarily the smartest thing to do. So I got to make sure that my wrestling strength really plays, or, you know, it really stays my strength. So that's kind of the way it went. I just started doing jiu-jitsu competitions and got to compete against some really good and well-known black belts very early on. And you know, that's just, it really has been a lot of fun to me to do that. And now jiu-jitsu thing, if you said, okay, you're never going to fight again, I would still train jiu-jitsu every day just because I enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I love hearing that, and that passion definitely comes across in how you pursue it and stuff like that. But I guess just curious to kind of ask about this too, because we've been talking about your wrestling game and stuff like that. I guess I'm curious about, you know, your thoughts on that part of Aaron Jeffrey's game, because he's, you know, often able to work with, like, the Brock University wrestling team, which is, like, one of the better kind of, you know, groups out of Canada. And it seems like the Niagara top team unit that he trains with, large in part, has really, like, you know, that strong kind of, you know, wrestling base and stuff like that. Like, what do you think about, I guess, his wrestling game from what you may have seen in some tape study?
You know, there's not a whole lot of video on him, but I think he's going to be a good wrestler. I don't, you know, I hate this idea that people say now. It's not 10, 15 years ago where you go, oh, what does your guy do? You know, everybody's good at everything. So I think Jeffries is going to be a good wrestler. You know, I don't think I'm going to go out there and you pick him and he falls over. So I think there's going to have to be a good bit of striking on the feet to be able to put him in a position where he might forget about the rest. But I don't expect to go out there and take a shot, put him on his back, and that'd be the end of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just, I guess I was asking the question with, like, my kind of mindset of, like, both of you guys having, like, you know, fun to watch wrestling games and stuff like that. But it is ultimately an MMA fight. Both you guys have shown really, like, a, you know, multiplicity of skills and stuff like that. So, yeah, I just meant it more in that sense, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't think that he's going to wrestle with me. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll come out, surprise me, and shoot on me. And he may really want to come out and show that he can wrestle well, you know. I don't know. But I would kind of be surprised if that were his game plan. But if that's what happens and it turns into a back-and-forth wrestling match, then, you know, that'll be interesting, too. I think no matter what, he's a guy that likes to finish. I'm a guy that likes to finish. So it's going to be a fun fight to watch.
And I mean, his last, you know, pair of fights, he's gotten, you know, TKO victories and stuff like that. Like, based on what you're saying, are you maybe thinking he might pursue a more, like, you know, kickboxing range oriented kind of approach? Or what do you think about that, I guess?
I would think that's probably going to be his initial game plan, to come out and strike until, I tag him or something. Maybe if I tag him, maybe he'll try to shoot. But I would think he's coming out there with a mindset of starting out the fight kickboxing heavy, and I'm okay with that. You know, that's fine with me. I do a lot of kickboxing. I'm very comfortable there.
Yeah, very much so. And just curious about some of the recent preparations, because I saw a picture a little bit ago at Jim O of you getting in work with Chris Honeycutt and also Chris Weidman. And I'm kind of wondering, is that like the main space you're training at? I've also seen certain places that Port City Sports Performance and whatnot is, you know, kind of a space. And I know, well, you've got the Salty Dog Jiu-Jitsu as well. So, like, I guess where are you mostly, like, honing the skills ahead of this fight?
I train like half and half between Wilmington, where Salty Dog Jiu-Jitsu and Port City MMA is, and then Jim O with those guys. So I'm kind of half and half most places.
Yeah, it seems like there's such a wealth of talent out there. Like, it really seems like some, you know, iron sharpens iron kind of work. Like, just even seeing some of the other guys listed, like, you know, Brian Barberena, who at the time of this recording, readying to fight on the UFC pay-per-view this weekend. So it just really seems like an elite room, for sure.
Yeah, it's a great group that there in Charlotte that have come in. A lot of guys moved there to be a part of it. And, you know, a lot of good training partners, a lot of good up-and-comers, so it's become a good place to finish out my week when I'm a training camp.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess just one of the last questions I had here, like, maybe you're not even thinking of this as much because you're kind of readying to return after a little bit, but is there an ideal strength of schedule you'd like to have this year? Like, in your mind, do you have a certain amount of fights you'd like to have by the time the year wraps up?
No, I'm just worried about this one right now. I'll get past this fight and I'll look at the rest of the year after that.
Yeah, it just seems like a good one that's, like, mindful of still being, like, in a good place in that, you know, rankings hierarchy. Like, as we were talking, it's like you're still very much well within there, and Aaron Jeffrey also a ranked middleweight. So it seems good in terms of, like, upward mobility and having, like, a good strength of schedule if that's what you were looking at. But I get what you mean. Like, very much want to focus on the immediate task, I would think.
Yeah, this is a great fight because it's, you know, it's a tough guy with a win. It just keeps you right there at the top. But, yeah, that's all I'm worried about right now is getting past this fight, and then I'll worry about anything else after that.
I mean, definitely understandable, man. And you've been really good with your time. I appreciate you coming on the show to give some great insights ahead of, you know, this exciting fight here. But I do want to be, you know, cognizant of your schedule and everything. So is there any kind of final parting thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up here, John?
I think that's it. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, no problem. It was, you know, great time having you on. Mutual appreciation for sure. And yeah, very excited for this Bellator 293 fight on March 31st. And again, to reiterate, I appreciate you coming on, and you have a good rest of your day there, man.
All right, thank you. You too.